And last Sunday morning, we talked about remembering our Creator in the days of our youth. We talked about the fact that this is a secret to success, a formula for success, and some suggestions as to what one will do as they remember their Creator in their youth, have God on their mind all the time, and therefore godly things on their mind all the time, and then consider God in every decision and worship and glorify God and be simply a faithful Christian. And then from Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 8, we made the point not to wait till you grow old to do this. When you grow old, the days are evil. Days are gloomy and dark. Life isn't fun anymore. You won't be strong and brave as you are not now. Life will be fragile, and in one sense of looking at it, life indeed is vain. Two things to remember as we look near the end of the lesson. Learn to number your days, Psalms 90 and verse 12. Learn to understand that life is short. Now, when you're young, it seems like life is very, very long, but soon you will realize in your old age that life indeed is very short and your days are very limited. And more than that, life can be snuffed out at any time, and judgment is coming very soon. Do not wait till it's too late. Fear God, reverence, respect Him today, and keep His commandments. Well, glorify God in your body as the Apostle Paul teaches us, and I want you to look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 13 through 20. First of all, I want us to realize that the Apostle Paul here is talking about the physical body. Notice in verse 13 that he's talking about the stomach, he's talking about the physical. Also in verse 13, notice that the body is not for immorality. He's talking about our physical bodies. Notice in verses 15 and 16 that he's giving us the command, which is taught in many places, that we're not to be joined to a prostitute. In other words, he's speaking here of the physical body and our treatment of it. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, regarding the physical relations between a husband and a wife, and that is the sexual relationship between the two. And then in verse 18, fornication is a sin against one's body, one's physical body. So let's be very clear here about what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. He's speaking of the physical body, and we are to glorify God in our physical body. The way that we treat our physical body is either right or wrong. It's holy or unholy. It's righteous or sinful. And we're going to be judged in those regards after this life. First of all, as we get into the text in more detail, I want us to notice that Christians are joined to Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul says, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." Now I'm going to tell you where I'm going with all of this. We're going to have two lessons today on this topic. This will be the first one. We're going to look in some detail at the text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but we're not going to get into the technical complicated things regarding the Holy Spirit being in our bodies. And there's many thoughts on that and many technical things that we could go into for several lessons. We're not going to touch upon those things. We're just going to consider that that is a fact because it's plainly stated within the Word of God. We're not going to talk about how that happens. We're not going to talk about the result of that happening. And we're going to leave that for another time. Then tonight we're going to talk about, as we answer the question, how do we glorify God in our bodies? How do we glorify the Lord in our bodies? And we'll look at some scriptures, we'll have some illustrations and some analogies and some advice on those things. And again, the lesson is directed mostly toward the young people, but older people, I'm sure we will get much out of this lesson. Well, this is the point that we're going to sort of make today, that when we become a Christian, we're joined in spirit with Christ. Therefore, since we are joined in spirit with Christ, the second point we're going to make after this one is that our bodies are also members of Christ, the spiritual, and then therefore the physical. And then as Paul gets to the very end of this in verses 19 and 20, therefore we do not have only have the obligation to glorify the Lord with our mind and with our spirit, but with our everything, including our bodies. And so that's where we're going this morning. We're joined with Christ in spirit, and we are one with Him. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And let's be reminded as to when this occurs. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Here, speaking of the time when we became Christians, when we obeyed the Lord and we were baptized into Christ, Paul says this: "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death." When we become a Christian, when we're baptized into Christ, we are united with Jesus Christ. Now, even if we did not have this lesson, even if we did not have this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20, common sense would tell us that if we've been united with Christ, therefore we are one with Christ, therefore we're to glorify Christ and the Lord and God in everything. We cannot try to make a distinction that we glorify God in our minds and with our spirits, but our bodies belong to ourselves, and what we do with them, it's our business. And that's just not the case. You see, that's just common sense. But Paul in particular, as we notice this throughout this lesson, makes this very plain, that the way we treat this body and what we do with this body and the way we conduct ourselves in this life must be in a way that glorifies God. So this occurs when we become a Christian. We're united with Christ. We become one with Him. As a matter of fact, turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And you remember that this is Jesus as He is teaching throughout these few chapters near the end of John, teaching and praying for the apostles and then for all those who would believe in Him as a result of their teaching. And He says this in verses 21 and 22. We'll go up to verse 20. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in Me through their word." Now this is Jesus praying for you and me. Verse 21. "That they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, and that the world may believe that You sent Me." So you see the point, and this is what Jesus is desiring, is that we all be one as a group of people, but also be one with God. Just as Jesus and Jehovah, our Father, are one, now we are one also with them. Verse 22. "The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one." And so we are one with the Lord. Everything You do and everything that I do is either good or evil and has a direct reflection upon God. It's sort of like a child and his parents. Everything a child does has a direct reflection upon the parent. The old saying is, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And what the child does is a direct reflection upon the parent, who they are, what they are, the things that they have taught, the examples that they set forth in their life. And so the child either brings glory and honor to the parent or shame. to the parent. And the same thing is true for you and I. And we'll see this in more detail as we look at other scriptures. But we either bring glory and honor upon God, or we bring reproach upon God by everything we do in this physical body. So we are one with the Lord, and everything we do in this body is a direct reflection upon Him. Now back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 13 and 15. We're going to make this point that our physical bodies belong to the Lord. And I'm going to get ahead of myself here just a little bit, but I want to be extremely plain, especially to the young people. The point that he's going to make is this. When you became a Christian, you were bought, you were purchased from sin and from death, from eternal damnation by God. He redeemed you. He purchased you. He bought you. Therefore, you do not belong to yourself any longer. Your body is not your own. You cannot go out and do just whatever you want to do, but you have been purchased, you have been bought. Your body belongs to someone else, not to yourself. Now let's look in detail as to what the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. The body is for who? It is for the Lord. In other words, our mission in life with our physical body, in everything and every respect, is to serve God and bring honor to Him. That is our whole mission in life. It's not to just do what we want to do. It's not to do the things that we may think are good or necessarily feels good to us. But to understand the will of God and do those things which God would have us to do, that is our entire mission in life. That is our obligation, and that is our responsibility. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. All the desires which we have as Christians are that of the Lord. The body for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Members of Christ. Your physical body is a member of Christ. In other words, your physical body cannot be separated in this respect from the rest of you. You cannot say that I serve God with my mind, I serve God with my heart, I serve God with my soul, and just leave your body out of it. It can't be left out. We live in a physical world, and therefore, in this life, we serve God in a physical sense. All of us today, and I hope all of you had a good night's sleep, all of us today had to get up, we had to get our bodies ready, and we had to come to church today. We had to do something physical. If we did not have the body, we couldn't do these things. We could not be here today. The work and the worship of the church. It takes physical bodies to accomplish those things. If we do not take care of our bodies, we do not have the body we need to do it. And young folks, let me tell you this. I think one of the worst things, as we looked at last week about getting old, one of the worst things is getting old and not being able to do the things that we are doing today. It seems to me that the most difficult thing to deal with in old age is being stuck in a house where you can't get out and you can't go to church. And you cannot receive the encouragement that we are receiving today, because you do not have the physical capability to do those physical things. And so, it is our physical body, in addition to our spirit, that is a member of Christ, the two cannot be separated. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Now, speaking of fornication here, and we'll deal with that a little bit later throughout the lesson, we cannot take a member of Christ, and that here in this specific respect being our physical body, and we cannot then be dealing in sin, whether it be fornication or anything else. Speaking specifically of fornication here, and we'll speak specifically about it in just, well, actually tonight. We'll speak specifically about it then. So being one with Christ, being a disciple of Christ, being one with God, we cannot then therefore take our bodies and use them for sin. I'm reminded of a couple of illustrations. One of them is a song that I love dearly, and I know many of you do also, that's in our supplemental book, and the name of it is All in All. It is a hard song to sing, and it takes some practice in getting how to sing all the different parts and all of these things, and we're getting pretty good at that. But I like this song. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all and all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all and all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. That's the first verse in the chorus. And that song really expresses the things that we are talking about today. Jesus is our all in all in every respect. The spiritual and the physical cannot be separated. One who has a handle on his spiritual life will therefore have a handle on his physical life. The two cannot be separated. One who does not have a handle on his physical life does not have a handle on his spiritual life. The two cannot be separated. I'm also reminded of those who would say in the world that what I do with my body is my business. Well, for those living in sin, maybe they could make that point, but not as Christians. We cannot make that point. What we do with our body is God's business. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. In everything that we do with our bodies, we must consider, is it right? And does it glorify the Lord? And so there is no such thing with Christians. Let's not even think it, that what I do is my business. That is absolutely wrong. What I do is God's business. And what you do is God's business. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul gives us the reason why these things are so. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now what is that price? You know very well what that price is, but I want us to explore it just a little bit more this morning. Turn your Bibles over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Usually we look at verses 18 and 19, and that's fine, but I want to begin in verse 17 because this sheds light upon the things that we're talking about this morning. Verse 17, 1 Peter 1, verse 17. If you dress as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves. Now, when we talk about conduct, we're talking about the physical body and the things we do with the physical body. So he says, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Now, the Apostle Peter is saying, conduct yourself. The things that you do physically upon the earth, the places you go, the things that you say, your actions, your reactions, everything that you do is you are to conduct yourself in a way that one would do who has been redeemed and bought back from the life of sin, from death, from eternal damnation. Because you've not been redeemed, you've not been bought back with silver or gold or some perishable thing, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, your physical body is not your own. When God bought us back from sin, He did not buy just part of us. That would be like someone going to a car dealer and paying the full price for the automobile, but when he took delivery of it, it didn't have any seats in it. The man, when he went to the car lot, went to buy the whole car, not part of it, and he paid the whole price. And God just didn't buy part of you. He didn't just buy your mind. He didn't just buy your heart. He just didn't buy your soul. He bought 100%. Therefore, conduct yourself worthy of Jesus Christ and the gospel and His blood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Here speaking of Jesus, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus Christ had to physically offer His body on the cross. Jesus didn't just go to the cross in His mind. Although there are some who would teach that Jesus did not physically come to earth, and the things that men saw, they were just some aberration of some sort. Jesus physically went to the cross. And our sins were borne in His body because there was a physical price to be paid. And that is the death and the sacrifice and the shedding of blood. And so Jesus physically went to the cross, bore our sins in His body, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, righteousness speaks of being in a right relationship with God, which means the things we do in our body must be right. And you see, here again, the point is emphasized. Our righteousness is not in mind only. Our righteousness is not in our heart only. Our righteousness is not in spirit only, but it is in the physical also. Therefore, every single thing, get this, every single thing we do in our bodies is important. Every single thing is important. When we're baptized into Christ, our physical body becomes His. He bought the whole thing, not part of it. We are no longer our own. We've been bought. We've been redeemed. Now get this. The price of discipleship, that which we owe, is giving our whole self to the Lord. That's the deal. That's the deal. God's part was coming up with the plan. Jesus' part was enacting the plan and dying upon the cross. Our part is complete obedience. Mentally, spiritually, and physically. That's the cost. Just like Jesus tells the parable of the one who went to build a house, and he went and he figured out what the cost of all that was so he could see if he could complete it. The cost is this of being a disciple. Your body belongs to the Lord. That's the price. That's the deal. And if we're not willing to pay that price, then we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. We're not going to complete that which we set out for. And the end of all that will be eternal damnation. I hope you've said to yourself already today and reminded yourself already this morning, my body belongs to God. It does not belong to me. My body belongs to God. It does not belong to me. And that is the commitment we must have. Absolute commitment. My body belongs to God. It does not belong to me. Therefore, your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. Of the things we've already said this morning, when you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you were united with Christ, just as Jesus prayed shortly before going to the cross, that you and I, all of us here, would be one together as brethren, but more than that, to be one with God and Jesus Christ. Our body does not belong to ourselves. It belongs to the Lord. And therefore, our body is a temple. Now, this is allegorical. What does this mean? This is a picture of the model of Herod's temple in Jerusalem. What would people have thought about this temple? First of all, it was considered to be one of the great wonders of the world. Magnificent. Hailed to be a true work of art by pagan and Jew, and later by Christian, simply because of the magnificent construction, as it said, upon the Temple Mount. And this is only the sanctuary in which they did the worship, the temple proper. The entire temple, if memory serves me correct, set about 60 acres. And was hailed to be absolutely magnificent by any architectural standard upon the world. And now the Apostle Paul is writing about a temple here. Here's an example of only one. And so, these temples were thought by men to be great and magnificent and important. And great care was taken in the building and the maintaining of these temples. I found a quote by Matthew Henry as I tried to just nail down these things as to the meaning of this temple. Your body is a temple. And I want to read you a couple of excerpts here from this. Speaking of the fact that we're joined to Christ in one spirit with Him, therefore we yield ourselves up to Him, being consecrated and holy and set apart for His use. And thereupon we are possessed and we are occupied and we are inhabited by His Holy Spirit. This is the proper notion of a temple, a place where God dwells and sacred to His use. And I think that's pretty well got it right. You are a temple. You have yielded yourself up to God. Your whole purpose in life being holy, set apart, sanctified for a religious purpose set forth by God is to serve Him with your everything. As Jesus said, the first and great commandment is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is our everything. What is left out? Not one thing. Therefore, in this way of speaking, our body is a temple. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to make this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That our body is a temple of someone's. There's not one person here upon the face of this earth whose body is not either the Lord's temple or the devil's temple. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, we're either sons of God or sons of the devil. Therefore, our body is being used in service to either God or the devil. Therefore, continue this allegory. Our body is therefore the temple of God or the temple of the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, or what harmony has God with Belial, or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Temple of God with idols? The agreement of the temple of God with idols? What temple is he talking about? Here, speaking to those who are dealing with idolatry and all these other things. What business do I have in any sense, physical or otherwise, dealing with idols? That's what he's talking about. For we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from the midst and their midst and be separated, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Now, there are a lot of things we could talk about with a lot of lessons. But for our lesson this morning, the point is, as God's children, do not deal with sin in any respect. With your mind, heart, physical body. Do not touch it. Do not have anything to do with it. Stay far from it. So our body is a temple of either God or the devil. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. As Christians, our body is the temple of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ living in me. And the body that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. We are the temple of the Lord. No longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And again, we could talk about for lessons on some of the technicalities about those things and that statement. But the fact of the matter, exactly as Paul expresses it, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Therefore, in this allegorical way, I am the Lord's temple. That's the end of the first lesson. First part of this lesson. Just simply setting forth the teaching of the Apostle Paul in this figurative, symbolic, allegorical way. Let's understand that we are the temple of the Lord. That what we do with our physical bodies, everything, every word, every roll of the eyes, every step, every place we go, every word that is spoken, everything is important. The body is for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. Now tonight, we're going to take the statement of the Apostle Paul, therefore glorify God in your body, and we're going to ask the question, how do we do that? And we're going to talk about maybe six different things, areas in which we do that. Make a few comments, a few illustrations, a few suggestions, but I'm counting on you more than anything else to think about the lesson and you apply it to yourself. You apply it to yourself while I just mentioned a few things. So, let's be here. Let's be ready to study tonight. Thank you so much for your kind attention. This morning we're going to offer the gospel invitation, number 300. Chris has selected for us to do that. Number 300, I am coming, Lord. If you're not a Christian, this morning you can become a Christian. You can come to the Lord, simply obeying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Son of God, and then being baptized into Christ exactly as we read about this morning, being united with Him, becoming one with Him, therefore becoming one with God. Therefore, this morning, in this figurative, symbolic, allegorical way we've been talking about, you can begin this morning as the Lord's temple, glorifying Him in everything that you do. If you're subject to the gospel invitation in any way this morning, won't you step to the front as we stand and sing?